Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke 8, verses 11 through 15. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
Oh my, what a good day it is to be alive and to know the Lord and to know that He loves us. His grace and His mercy still works in our lives, and He gives us such a tremendous word to study. I'm thankful that you're here. Thankful that you've come today. We're going to be able to study the Word of God today, and I hope it'll be meaningful to you. It has been mentioned a little bit in the bulletin and by other places that we will be doing our recording of our songs for the search program on November the 20th, beginning at 4 o'clock. And I hope and I pray that every one of you can come and be a part of that. We want you to come and to be present. We need your voices. We need your help. And young folks, I hope you'll come. And those in our college group, I hope you'll come. Those of you who are young marrieds, we hope you'll come. We need voices. We need people. So come and be with us. And I thank you for all that you do for the search program. There is one skill that is a must if we are to please God. This skill will lead us to believe. It will lead us to love the Lord. It'll lead us to be obedient. It is a skill that affects every relationship of our lives. It affects our homes, whether we're good husbands and wives, whether we're good children or parents, whether we're good brothers and sisters. We have to have this skill to be good students. We have to have this skill to master about anything that we want to master. You might ask, what is this skill that is most necessary? It is the skill of listening. A number of years ago, I took classes under Dr. Cale in psychology, and we learned a little bit about listening. A few years later, I read a book by John W. Drakeford, The Awesome Power of the Listening Ear. And then there came out a second volume, The Awesome Power of the Listening Heart. And I devoured that book. I loved it so much. I've not learned much about listening. Not as I should. But I know how important the skill of listening is to every aspect of your life. There's a book that came out a few years ago, How to Speak So People Will Listen, and How to Listen So People Will Speak. And oh, how badly we need that in our lives. And I think of the words of Jesus when He spoke to the multitudes. Now, He didn't explain it when He first talked about it in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. But the Bible says that a sower went out to sow his seed, Jesus is speaking. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, some on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Oh, to have ears to hear. One of the differences between the Pharisees and the publicans, the tax collectors and sinners, was that the tax collectors and the sinners had ears to hear. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and the others didn't. I hope that you are not like that. I hope that you have ears to hear. In Luke 8 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus cautioned, "And therefore take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him." We need to really think about our listening, and especially listening to God, listening to what He has to say. Jesus used this story to reveal some important things about the nature of people. And while Jesus Himself called it the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verse 18, really this story is more about the heart and the various kinds of hearts that people have, and about the differences that people have in listening to the same message, how some will hear it, some will benefit from it, and some will not. When I think about the seed, it's very clear that the seed here is the Word of God, Luke 8, verse 11. In Matthew 13, it's called the Word of the Kingdom. In other words, if you would be in the kingdom of God, if you would be right with God, you need to hear the Word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That is the word of the kingdom, the church, God's people, the ones who are right with Him, the ones who follow Him. But these soils differ. Some go in one direction and so some go in another. And it's unfortunate that it's that way. When I think about the hearts, there are four hearts that are listed here. The first one is the hard heart. Luke 8 and verse 12 says, "The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." But we live in a day and time in which a lot of people don't hear the word. And sometimes the word is taken from their hearts. Matthew gives us a little more information, or Luke earlier gave us a little information talking about how that whenever that word was on the path, that people would trample it down and the birds would come along and eat it. Matthew says in chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, it's not just hearing it, it's hearing it with understanding. The devil comes, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in the heart. They don't get the full message. And this was what was sown along the path. We live in a time in which a lot of people hear, but they don't understand. Or maybe they hear a part of the message and somebody comes along, some man comes along and begins to trample it. There are a lot of voices in our world today. And those voices say different things. And you might hear the Word of God. You might hear that you were created. You might hear that Jesus is Lord. You might hear that the Word of God is inspired, and some man come along and trample that underfoot and take away from what you have heard from God. We live in a time in which there are a lot of voices that oppose the truth and oppose what is right and oppose the good things that God does and says. There are those that say, "You're not created," and would provide an alternative idea. But I wonder how anyone can look at the starry heavens above and not see the awesome power of God. I wonder how one can look at the moral law within and not know that there is a moral governor. I wonder how one can look at the complexity of the body itself. All of the trillions of cells that are in your body. And I wonder if they cannot see how complex you are as a human being. All just one molecule in every cell in your body has enough information of DNA in that information to fill 100 encyclopedias that describe and make you so unique and so unusual. And every cell of your body is like a whole city of itself. Do you know that in every cell in your body there's a communication system that would rival the communication system of the entire city of Edmond in Oklahoma City? You are not somebody that is just simple and easy. Oh no. It took an intelligence to make you. It took a moral governor to give your heart that moral belief. And it took the power of God to make this universe. Oh, there is reason to believe, but there are people who would steal from you your faith and steal from you your willingness to see Jesus. For more than 40 years, I've been studying the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and there are reasons to believe. In my lifetime, there have been a lot of books that have come out in the area of what we call Christian evidences or apologetics. And I'm here to tell you today that there's not a question, there's not a doubt that anybody can pose, that there are not answers in abundance somewhere in the books that have been written in recent days. There are reasons to believe, and good reasons. Reasons that can build us up. Don't let the devil steal the word from your heart. Are you one of those people that maybe you have these doubts? Find the truth. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Find out the answers to those doubts that you may have. Answer those questions. They're abundant in answers around if you will look for them. They are there. Don't let the birds come and eat the seed of word, the seed of the word out of your heart. Listen to God. And then there is the stony heart. Luke 8 and verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while. And in time of testing, and yes, we'll all have testing. Time of testing, they fall away. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21 say, and as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Yes, he's going to say, and hearing about the good news of our salvation and our forgiveness and the blessing of God and the hope of heaven, all of those things are wonderful things. He receives it with joy, and yet he has no real firm root in himself. He endures for a while, but when tribulation, when troubles come along, or persecution arises on account of the word, peer pressure, people who don't agree with you, people who will put you down for it, because there's not the kind of faith that there needs to be immediately, he falls away. And there are folks who are like that. Anyone who's ever been on the mission field knows that there is sometimes a high level of attrition. People who will quickly respond but quickly go away and not receive the Word of God. Sometimes people have an emotional relationship, have strong feelings about God, but they don't have the knowledge that they need, and they don't listen to the Word enough to find the answers to whenever there's persecution and tribulation and difficulty. And they fall away. Now you're going to be persecuted at times, and so will I. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Every one of us faces those kinds of things. Every one of us will have to face people who don't agree with us, people who don't love us for what we believe or agree with us. People who will put us down and people who will make fun of us, just as they did, as Bobby mentioned this morning about Jesus. Can you imagine somebody dying on a cross and someone making fun of you? Jesus understood that they hated him, and he said that people would hate us as well, and sometimes they do. It could be that you responded to the gospel at one point in your life. But if you don't continue to ground yourself, if you don't continue to build up your faith can waver in a time of testing, and you fall away. And then there is the choked heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked. By the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Now, Matthew 13 talks about the cares of the world. And he talks about the deceitfulness of riches. And of course, Luke talks about the pleasures of life, those three things. You can get so caught up in what the world thinks and what the world wants from you. You can get so caught up in wanting to make that extra dollar. You can get so caught up and all the pleasures of life, that after a while your faith is choked out. There's no room in your heart for God because you're loving everything else and thinking about everything else, and your priorities are all out of place. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 34, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down." Weighed down with dissipation. That's a big word, which means moral looseness. In other words, after a while you can get weighed down and you don't even think about what's right or wrong, what's good or bad. You can be weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Then that day, that is the day when Jesus comes again, it'll come upon you suddenly like a trap. And life can get so that we miss the real point of life. We can let everything around us be so involving that we miss what's really important. I don't know about you, but I'm mighty sick of the election right now. It is so easy at times to get so filled with this or filled with that to forget that Jesus is King and our King, and we don't ever have to be ashamed of Him. We don't ever have to worry about Him saying yes or no. We don't ever have to worry about a foul mouth from His Word. We don't ever have to worry about Him promising and then not keeping His promises. I tell you, King Jesus is my Lord, and He's the one that I'll follow, and you know what? I'm a citizen of heaven. Before I'm a citizen of the United States, I don't know what the future holds for us. And yes, I fear for my grandchildren just as many of you fear for your children and grandchildren. But I do not fear that Jesus is Lord. I do not fear that He will be in control. And I do not fear that He will do what is right. There are times that people get all caught up in the deceitfulness of riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." When we were young, Jackie and I had a dear friend that we loved very much and spent a lot of time with. But behind the scenes, he grew greedy and began to get involved in stealing and drugs and other things. Here was a man who was a deacon in the church, but because of his longing for money, his craving for money, got to the point where he did the wrong things and was in trouble with the law. And he lost his family, and he lost his faith, and his family left the Lord. Folks, the deceitfulness of riches is still very much there. And many people have pierced themselves through with a lot of pain and ruin because they did the wrong thing. And then thirdly, there are the pleasures of life. You remember that the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived." Now, the reason God tells us not to be deceived is because a lot of people lie to themselves. Or they listen to what other people say. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. Don't let somebody lie to you. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And He says, "The one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And we need to have that confidence that if we will trust God, if we will follow God, if what we sow in our lives we'll sow toward God, God will let us reap in the days to come. If not in this life, in the life to come. And it'll be so much better than all of the problems that people get into. But some people get involved in this and they get involved in that and the pleasures of life, and they want what they want and they want what they feel, and they have to have this and they have to have that, and after a while it brings them so much unhappiness. I ask you, where is your heart? Is it among the thorns? Sometimes people obey the gospel, but as time goes by, they begin to be preoccupied with the riches and cares and pleasures of this life, and they forget who God is, and they let their priorities get all messed up. Let me tell you something. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven more than I want money. I want to go to heaven more than I want pride. I want to go to heaven more than I want all the pleasures of life. I want to go to heaven when I die, because I know this, that there's not one thing that I can take to heaven with me in this life except my soul. Just my soul. This is my wedding ring, and Jackie and I gave these rings to each other a long time ago. I can't get it off my finger anymore. I love my wife. And this is a precious reminder of her to me whenever we are apart. It's very precious to me. But when I die, I won't get to take this wedding ring with me to heaven. It'll stay with my body. And my spirit will go back to God. My soul will go back to God. I want my soul to go with Him. I want to be with God. And then fourth, there is the good heart. Luke 8 and verse 15, "And as for that, in the good soil they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." Matthew expands a little bit on that when he says in chapter 13, verse 23, "As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. They have a good and honest heart. They're honest with themselves and honest with God, and they know the truth. And they have a good heart. A heart that wants to do what is right. A heart that wants to be right with God. A heart that loves others and loves God. And so they want to understand that word. And you know what? If there's something they don't understand, they ask a question. They want to make sure they get it right and they understand what God is saying. They want to be in such a situation that they have the truth. Let me tell you something. If you listen good, that's valuable. But if you listen and you don't have the truth, what good has it done? What good has it done? They not only hear the truth, they understand it. They want it. They're like those Bereans. In Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so." They wanted to know it right. They wanted to make sure they had the truth. They didn't want half-truths. They wanted to make sure that what Paul and Barnabas, or Silas rather, were saying to them was right and good. They didn't want to be fooled. Whenever you hear the truth and you love it, loving the truth is important. And you take it into your heart and you put it into your life, one of the things it does is it bears fruit. Well, there are a lot of things that we hear about from Scripture about fruit bearing. One of the ways that we bear fruit is by winning souls. Whenever a person preaches the gospel and preaches the truth, it can win a soul. Romans 1 and verse 13, Paul said, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far it's been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. And I think about that. He wanted to produce fruit. He wanted souls to know Jesus. He wanted souls to know the truth. And folks, that's our business, of preaching the gospel and trying to win souls to Jesus so that they might love Him even as we love Him. Producing fruit means that I'm going to live a holy life. Romans 6 and verse 22, he says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." If I have been forgiven, I'm not supposed to go on sinning. I need to live a holy life. I need to learn to say no. And part of that fruit that I produce is sanctifying myself. That is setting myself apart to live for Jesus, to live a holy life, to live a good life, to set myself apart from anything that is ugly and bad and wrong because I belong to Him. That's fruit bearing. I think about the fruit of sharing material things. For they, speaking of Macedonia and Achaia, were pleased to do it, that is, to give to the needy saints of Jerusalem. And indeed, they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. They were producing fruits by giving, by sharing of what they had, and I'm thankful that they did. I think about fruit that we produce, and I think about the fruit of the Spirit, that is what God produces through us whenever we obey the Word and we live the Word and we know the Word. When the Spirit influences our hearts and influences our lives, there are some things that will just bubble out and overflow. God will produce within you whenever you hear His Word and when you love His Word and when you love Him and you love others. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And he says, against such things there is no law. There is something that's inside of us that just bursts forth because of who we are and what God's Word, the promise of the kingdom and the promise of eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins and the love of Jesus towards us makes us full of these things. And with all of that, we not only have these things, but we have the fruit of good works. Colossians 1 and verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. We want to do good. I can't help but say how proud I was yesterday, not only of what was done for others, but of the group that went out and they worked in people's houses and they did good things in Mission Edmond. And their fruit was fruit of good works. God bless you for doing it. It shows that God is in your heart and in your life. And then there is the fruit of just praise and thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 verse 15 says, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Whenever you love God and God's Word is in you, you just want to praise Him. And you just want to thank Him. And you want to come to Him and let Him know He's in your heart. Now, I don't know what talents all of you have. Each of you have been given what you've been given. One is given one thing, another thing. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whenever you produce fruit, that glorifies God. And it shows who you belong to and what your life is all about. Oh, I ask you, do you have that good soil in you? Do you have a heart that's willing to hear? Do you have a heart that's willing to act? Do you have a heart that wants to bless others? Do you have a heart that wants to be like Jesus Christ? Do you have a heart that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, that hungers and thirsts for the Word? You don't walk here or there. You don't sit with the seat of the scornful, but you delight in the Word. And in that law he delights both day and night. Do you delight in the Word? Do you delight in the Word? You see, whenever you delight in the Word and the Word becomes a part of your heart, it keeps you from sin. Thy Word have I treasured up in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119. Whenever we have that kind of heart, it makes all the difference in the world. And how we behave and how we think and how we love and how we react to others. When we have that kind of heart, we're ready to hear and eager to hear. When Jesus finished telling this parable, you remember in Matthew 13 and verse 9, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you studying? Are you buying the truth and not selling it? And what you hear, does it make any difference to you? Is it something that is deep in your heart, deep in your life, deep in your soul? Is it going to make a difference in how you think, in what choices you make, in where you go, and what you are? Oh, do you have ears to hear? And if you have ears to hear the Word, will you believe it, accept it, embrace it, welcome it, agree with it, make it the foundation of your heart and of your life, and because it is and because you love Him, repent of every sin with that faith and listening and love and repentance to confess the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized. Because when you're baptized, God will wash away those sins. When you're baptized, God will add you to His church. When you're baptized, He'll make you His child. He'll bury you with Christ. He'll raise you up to walk in newness of life. You're born again. And you have an inheritance in heaven when you become a Christian. Do you have ears to hear? When you become a Christian, now that you've become one, are you continuing to listen? Don't be like those who heard one day and stopped hearing another. Don't be like those who got so busy with this and that that they forgot about their salvation and forgot about what Christ did for them on the cross. Do you have ears that are still listening? If there's something that's amiss, brother or sister, between you and God, isn't it time you got it corrected and ask God to forgive you? If there's anything that is a problem between you and God, if there's anything that God has said that has made it clear to you that you have a bad attitude or that you have a wrong direction or you're doing the wrong thing, isn't it time to get it corrected? Have those ears to hear. Start making a difference in your life today while we stand to sing.